Okay, I can come on the line. Okay. The one thing that nobody has talked about out here in this whole damn deal is that basically the constitutions are nothing but banking charters. Okay? They are strictly a banking charter. Everything out here is done by banking. I told you all along that that Bible is nothing but banking instruments, banking laws, inequity. That's what the Bible really is all about. It's a banking book. Okay? The Constitution of the United States of America is the national banking charter for the country and for distribution of the funds to the states, depending upon their appropriation of people within their state. That's why the Constitution was written up, and basically why the Congress was assigned so many people per the population of the state. That was to be a we the people bank, not we the government controlling and putting the people into servitude bank. The Justice Department is basically the first trustee in this bank. They are the just exchangement trustee. The Secretary of State is not a trustee for this bank. They're just a public relations office. Okay? They really have no standing in the operation of the banking system of this country. They're just a public, like I said, a public relation for the president of the bank, and the president of the bank is just a damn nitwit. He's just an interface, sort of like a monarchy out there, that basically just sits on a throne and doesn't know what the shit they're doing. And you can tell that from the people that we've had in that damn office. Now, the Judicial Department is basically the first trustee. We have to take it like in a brokerage house. And that's all that a courthouse is a brokerage house. It's a national banking brokerage house or a state bank brokerage house. The state constitution is a state banking charter. The second trustee is basically the treasury out here. They're the ones that are holding the assets. Just like in a commodity broker, you go first to the broker, then he sends it down to the cashier who basically writes out the check. And then the third and final trustee is the post office that makes the delivery to your private post office box with your zip code. But you have to, and that's the third trustee, the distribution trustee. You have to get the U.S. attorney out of being a foreign trustee for the foreign United States bankrupt trust. Just like at the state, you have to get that prosecuting attorney, county attorney, or state attorney who's ever trying to prosecute you, you have to get him on your side of the aisle, and you have to be coming in the de jure bank of the state, not this de facto debtor bank. He has to be on your side of the aisle. Then he has vacated being the trustee for the other side, And now there is no trustee on the other side. The judge has to come in and basically be a constitutional judge in the process. And in most cases, there is going to be no female that qualifies for that constitutional judgeship. They can only operate in the de facto court system. The fraudulent, the Jezebel banking system. But that's all that this is. It's just a banking system that we're operating in. You have to understand that, and you basically are a customer of either the Azure Bank or under this fraudulent bankrupt bank and trust. You renounce being a grantor to that foreign bank and also a beneficiary to it. Then they have to terminate your executor, your ex-con account in that fraudulent bank. But you put the U.S. attorney or the state attorney on your side of the aisle because basically, the de jure state treasury, okay, bank, has a claim against that fraudulent bankrupt bank also. That's why we're putting the U.S. attorney on our side of the aisle as a plaintiff to represent the United States of America Constitutional Trust, Bank and Trust. They can't represent both sides of the aisle in this process. So they have to vacate the one and go over and now operate on the de jure side. It's a done deal. If they don't comply, we have inspector generals that we will call upon and basically come down upon that U.S. attorney if he does not get over on the right side and do his job for the Constitution. The same way up the line. That's why you have a Treasury Inspector General. That's why you have a Justice Department Inspector General. That's why you have a Post Office Inspector General. And that's also why you have the FBI, the Federal Banking Inspectors. It's all about banking. But they've hidden the titles away from everybody, and then they've got everybody going in the wrong damn direction, thinking, oh, this is probate, this is that. We need to have this apostille. We need to go to the Secretary of State and basically get this all done all over again. That certificate of live birth was sent in. It gave us a de jure birth certificate, a American banknote. But we had to get a bank routing number to be able to utilize that in the process, and that's the 98 series number. Then we had to set up our private individual bank, our individual banker working for our private bank out here, and then have a means to process the distribution to the assets over to us by using our zip code, 9-digit bank, postal bank distribution routing number, and then get a postmaster distribution account, whether it's in the form of a debit card or whatever. That's what needs to be done. That's what you people need to understand. You have a mortgage. You go into court. Basically, the prosecutor is sitting there, the county attorney or whoever. They are on the wrong side of the fence. They are basically representing the bank, which is a beneficial owner for the fraudulent trust that was created by that mortgage. You have to get them over onto being a representative for the state, okay, for like Iowa State Constitutional Bank and Trust. Because the Constitutional State Bank and Trust also has a claim against any profits that that bank that's holding the mortgage beneficial ownership owes to the state too. They owe funds to us. They've been using our letters of credit. They owe payment to us. They owe payment to the state. But you have to get the state prosecutor onto the right side of the aisle. And you have to get onto that side too by doing a revoking of the beneficial or being the grantor and being the beneficiary to this foreign grantor trust. All of these, the Jezebel banking system, you have to come out of her and get over to the American Constitutional National Bank system or the Constitutional State Bank system, bank and trust. That's what it's all about. With these documents that I have, you should be able to see that. Where did I put the U.S. attorney? I put him over on my side of the aisle, in the plaintiff's side. He can't represent the de facto side any longer. The judge is not going to be able to be a fiduciary for the beneficial owners of those trusts, the fraudulent beneficial owners. There again, if they try and do that, basically we can go into the court inspector generals and have them punished. Have their bonds taken away. Removed from office. But you have to know what you're doing in the process. And then when you understand this, you should understand how to stay out of the damn Jezebel banking system and not get into trouble anymore. You don't need these public banks. We've got the post office banking system in this country. Okay, it's open for questions now. Ask them or forever hold your peace, because this may be the last time I talk to you guys. Because mine got delivered today to the U.S. attorney at 12:28 and to the court at 12:51. Okay, someone is going to try and talk. Go ahead. Well, it shouldn't, but she may have to recluse herself and turn it over to one of her understudies. Well, you don't have to look it up. You send it into the U.S. Attorney's Office there at that federal district. They have to know what's going on when they're put onto the de jure side. Yeah. Now, I don't think it has anything in the laws about who the U.S. attorney is. We know that the judges are supposed to be male in all cases when they're dealing with the national bank. And see, we've got all these representatives. If you're going to think you're going to the representative, you're going to the representative that is representing this foreign trust, the bankrupt United States or United States bankrupt trust, or the state of, like Iowa, bankrupt trust. That's who they're representing right now. They're not representing the de jure bank. They vacated that office. Okay. Yeah. Plus a copy of my baptismal certificate, plus a copy of the Expatriation Act. I didn't list that one, but I stuck it in there. Plus a copy of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. And I think there was one other document there that I have, too. It's all listed on the court package. No, I didn't put in the... I dropped that one off, the UCC 108 and 1, or 5108 and 5109. Okay? He gets the whole package, okay? The violations of office information document was the other one that I sent him with that. Yeah, it's all right in that, court filing that I have. And basically, this goes right along with the Tale of Two Cities that you were supposed to read in grade school or junior high or whenever. This is the Tale of Two Trust. That is your trust and the fraudulent trust, the Jezebel trust. The two different banking systems in the country. The only document that I sent in was that foreign SS con trust, Mortimane ex-con person, Social Security document. I dropped off the driver's license and all the others. They will come and pick those up. I put the statement in there that they had to come and pick those up when demanded by the court or the U.S. Marshals. All the other items will be ready for them to pick up. They've got to come and see us to get us out of the system. Okay? Huh? Just the U.S. attorney gets that. See, it's addressed to him. Okay? Come on. Okay. Well, it's right in the very first part of the court case, too. The first paragraph talks about the de jure. The only thing I could have expounded upon more was the American National Bank, as that is what the Constitutional Trust is all about. It's an American National Bank. Yeah, and see, the Articles of Confederation, they tried their first attempt using the Articles of Confederation to set up a national banking charter. It didn't work because they had to have all the states agree to do something. And they couldn't get all the states to agree. One state could hold out, maybe then they didn't fund the Continental Army because one state held out. That's why they had to go to the Constitution and rewrite it to where it was two-thirds majority. And give several powers as the bank, president of the bank, could make several determinations. And also that making the trustees had additional powers in the process, too, because they didn't have it all set up with the three trustees the way it should have been. And that's why Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and the boys kept going over to England to find out how the banking charters were set up. And you'll find a lot of this right in the first volume of the Statutes at Large, if you know what you're looking for. This was never supposed to be a debtor's country. The treasury belongs to the people. You got in debt, you were supposed to, basically the courts were supposed to take care of it, but if the courts didn't process it, then you turn to the next trustee up the ladder, which was the Secretary of the State. Or the Secretary of the Treasury. Like I said, the Secretary of State is just nothing but a damn administrative interfacing person out there for public relations. The Secretary of the Treasury is the second trustee. The Secretary of State is nothing but a kiss-ass international information person setting up basically the household effects of basically like the kingship, okay? Monarchy. Basically the butler that sets up everything for the household, for the party that they're going to have that night. That's all that the damn Secretary of State is. They're not worth shit. We could live without them. We don't need them. They're only for kissing ass with some other dignitary from some other country. Well, basically, whatever, okay? Yeah, in the Jezebel banking system, they're able to do a hell of a lot more. That's why Hillary Clinton wanted in there, because basically in the Jezebel banking system, they were sort of calling a bunch of the shots when they shouldn't have been doing anything except party planners. And see, the Constitutional Bank does not have the authority to go out and basically spend the people's money. At will, the way they're doing in the Jezebel banking system. Any other questions? Speak up. The bank filing one, okay, and basically that's the $46 U.S. bankrupt trust court filing, okay, and then you need to have a green cover sheet for that motion, for that court motion. It's gonna be, you have to have a $46 money order you put with that. Then I put a white, based upon the Constitution document in there, cover sheet addressing this to the clerk of the court. But I didn't sign that document. It's just an information cover sheet that basically they have to file this filing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Okay? And then you have your SSX con manumission to the U.S. court example that you need to fill out. You need to sign date, and you're coming in both as the beneficiary, like in my case, Patrick Devine, and then basically as the inheritor and owner, vessel owner, Patrick, semicolon, of the family divine. Okay? And then a copy of your baptismal certificate document that I had posted up there, template. And then also a copy of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment document, and then a violations of office information document. And I also put a copy of the expatriation 14th Amendment into those packages too. And then I also had a insurrection letter going to the U.S. Attorney's Office when I send the package over to him. So you need to make up three packages, two packages with a green cover sheet and a blank green sheet at the end, putting that into a package. You make up two packages there. You send those into the court. The court case numbers, you don't know. And it's going to end up being a sealed court case because the court don't want this out to the general public. So it's going to end up being a sealed court case. And then you send a complete package over to the U.S. attorney also, signed, sealed, and dated. You send them out by certified mail. Then if they don't comply within a couple of days, basically then you start hitting up the inspector generals. The Justice Department Inspector General claiming fraud, just like what we did with the Social Security Inspector General. They're operating under identity theft and also under banking fraud. And because it's banking fraud, you can bring in the federal banking investigators known as the FBI. But there's an Inspector General in the Justice Department, in the Treasury Department, and in the Post Office Department. And all three of them basically deal with identity theft and fraud. National banking fraud. Using a what? No, you don't need to do that, okay? Certified mail is good enough. You have a tracking. All you need to know is when it was delivered. And you can get the delivery time and date online. And see, basically, if they don't comply, basically, they're going to be operating in mail fraud of not complying with the delivery of that instrument within 3 days. We have them now that we understand that this is nothing but a bank that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the national bank or the state chartered bank, not these foreign fraudulent bank and trust. Bankruptcy or bankrupt bank and trust. And we get the trustees on the right side of the fence. They now have to come in and support the constitutions and not the fraudulent foreign bankers. Anybody have a problem with that? It's that simple. Even in your child support cases, anything, you get that public defender over on your side of the aisle under the national or state banking system. The state bank or the national bank has a claim against that Jezebel banking system. And unless you bring them over with you, basically, they're going to stay over on the other side trying to make a profit and get extra pay in their back pocket from the fraudulent bankers. A kickback. That's why Corey's court case, why the female prosecutor asked the judge whether she was still going to get her payment. Well, hell no, she's not going to get her payment. She's already been paid for that office position by the du jour bank. She's not going to be entitled to the kickback. She has to vacate that position once she gets thrown on the other side of the aisle. She now has to start operating that position in the du jour. She's already been paid.